All right. How's everybody doing this morning? Anybody cold besides me? It's nice in here, man. It was cold this morning. I'm having a great day. How's everybody doing in their study? Everybody doing okay in your devotional? Where I think you should be on, I think I read, what did I read this morning? 15. I think I'm on 15 and enjoying my devotional. And I keep hearing some good stories about our 50 days of transformation. And I want some in writing. I want to hear from you. In your worship folder is a little yellow piece of paper. Anybody see that yellow piece of paper in the worship folder? I want to hear your stories. If God is blessing you, if God is speaking something to you, if something has touched you, maybe a story, maybe one of the devotionals were meaningful to you, take a few minutes to share that story with me. And so you can keep that paper. I'll put another one in next week. I'm going to kind of do this for the next following few weeks because I want to hear the stories of what God is doing, because I keep hearing good things about what God is up to through this study. And so please take a few minutes to do that. I'm going to give you a break this morning. We're not going to do our memory verse, okay? I'm going to cut you some slack this morning. So we're going to call this grace. I'll give you a little bit of grace this morning. But I do want us to look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And so I'm going to kind of come back to that verse. You've been memorizing that verse in the NIV, the New International Version. If you look at your little outline this morning, it's worded a little bit different. This is from the New Living Translation. And it brings an emphasis I wanted to share with you this morning. Look at what it says. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. By changing the way you think. If you remember, we've been memorizing the King James. I mean, the New International. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're talking about changing the way you think this morning. I want you to think about our mind. When we talk about changing things, we pray to God, and we often ask God to change our circumstances. God, life is messed up right now. God, I'm not well. I'm sick. My finances aren't well. God, my family's not well. God, my marriage. God, my... And we ask God to intervene in our circumstances of life. Job is not going well, and we ask God to intervene in those circumstances. But what I wanted to concentrate on this morning is our mind. How often do we ask God? God, get rid of this pain. God, make me well. I don't want to be sick. God, help me with my depression. God, help me with madness. And we ask God for all that. But I want to concentrate on our mind, on our thoughts, on how we think. Because that has more of an impact on our life than our circumstances. Did you hear what I said? Your thoughts, your thinking, the process you use in your mind has a greater impact on your life than your circumstances. Circumstances are going to change sooner or later. Good or bad, they're going to change. What you think, you carry with you the rest of your life. How many of you have been programmed when you were a child? Oh, you're just clumsy. Oh, you'll never amount to anything. Or you can't do anything right. Anybody been programmed with those words and your mind starts settling on that? Even though it's probably not true, yet you start acting like it's true. Anybody? So what I want to do is I want to concentrate on our mind this morning. And so I put it this way. I wrote it this way. God is far more interested in changing your mind than changing your circumstances. God is much more interested in changing your mind, how you think. Because here's what you need to understand. How you think influences your attitude. And then your attitude influences your actions. In order to change your actions, you got to change the way you think. The way you look at things. And so I put it this way. If you look at your outline, you must manage your mind. There's three things I wanted you to note when you think about managing. Why should I worry about what I think? Why should it matter what I think? Why should it matter what dwells upon my mind? And here's the first thing it says, because your thoughts control your life. Be it good or bad. If you wake up in the morning and your thought says, this is going to be a good day, what kind of day are you going to have? Anybody? You wake up in the morning and you say, this is a bad day. What kind of day are you going to have? You program yourself, your thoughts, what you think, how you think, will dictate how the day goes. It controls you. It controls how you process the day. The scripture says this: be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. And I circled that word shaped. And here's what you need. Whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter. If you think it, that's how you're going to act. If you think somebody's a jerk, you're going to treat them like a jerk. If you think somebody's good, it controls you. Your thoughts dictate who you and how you behave. And so the first thing, why should you matter? Why should it matter what dwells in your mind? Because it's going to control how you live your life. The second one I put down here, because the mind is a battleground for sin. Your mind is a battleground for sin. How many of us have seen those little cartoons? You know, you got the, I always like the Pluto one, okay? I'll just kind of go to the Disney, you know, me and my crazy thing. I got my Mickey on today, you know. You got the Pluto with the little red suit and the little pitchfork over here on this shoulder. And on this shoulder, you got the Pluto with the halo. You know, in the cartoon, just to give you the context, the cartoon is the cat's in the bottom of the well. You know, and Pluto, do I get the cat out or do I let the cat drown? You know, and he's got that in his mind. It's in his mind. The battle is where? The battle's in his mind. You got these two things going on. See, the battle in our life, for good or bad, is in our mind. That's where it starts. That's where it dwells. You know, it starts with pride. It starts with lust. It starts with envy. It starts with resentment. It starts with anger. Where does all that start? In our mind. So the battle for our lives and our choices in our life is in our mind. It's in our head. It's between our ears. It's what we think. We need to see that's a battle for us. Look at what it says here. I love to do God's will so far as my new nature is concerned. Now, when I hear Paul is sitting there saying, I love to do what God asked me to do. I love to live by the biblical principles. I love to do and to follow God and to serve God and to be a part of what God's doing. I love being that good person, that character that God wants me to be. I love doing that. But, there's always got to be a but, right? But, there's something else deep within me, in my lower nature, that is at war with my mind and wins the fight and makes me a slave that is still within me. You get the picture? He's saying, but there's a battle, there's a war going on in me, and it often wins. This is Paul. Wrote the majority of the New Testament. Planted most of the new churches. And he's saying, I still mess up. I have this battle within me, and it's in my head, it's my mind. I want to be God's willing servant, but instead I find myself still enslaved to sin. See, that battle within us, it starts in our head and it goes on in our head. That good, that bad, do I, don't I, how do I react, what do I do, am I proactive, am I reactive? You know, sometimes it's conscious. You're sitting there and you're going, I know I shouldn't do this. I know it's not the wise thing to do, but, right, the but, you know. And sometimes it's unconscious. Sometimes it's just like, all of a sudden you're sitting there, why in the world did I do that? Anybody ever do that one? What was I thinking? I knew better. How did I get, you know? Sometimes it's conscious and sometimes it, but this battle going on in our head. You know? See, it controls our choices. It controls our life, and there's a battle going on there. And the last one I put here is this, because it's the key to peace and happiness. If you want to have peace in your life, you want to have happiness in your life, you need to control your mind. All right? You need to take your mind. Sometimes, just so you know, the mind has a mind of its own. Anybody been in that one? You know, your mind has a mind of its own. It's going to, you know, it's going to do whatever it wants, and it's going to do whatever it seems to it. And you got to make your choice. You can either have turmoil or tranquility. You can either have pressure or peace. You can have conflict and chaos or confidence. It all starts where? In your mind. If you want peace in your life, you need to have peace in your mind. Look at what it says. So letting your sinful nature control you leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. That's what I want to think about this morning. We want our lives transformed. I don't know about you, but I want a better life today than I had yesterday. Anybody? I want a better life tomorrow than today. I want to be a better person. You know? It's Valentine's Day. I want to, coming up, right? I got 2 days. Already got my shirt on, my tie on, okay? You know? And, I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better, anybody? Well, it starts in our mind. And it starts in our head. And there's this battle going on in us. Do I die? And we wrestle with this. So this morning, I want to kind of identify three things you can do to help you get control of your mind. All right? Because it's hard. It's a battle. And we wrestle with it. And here's what I make sure you understand. It's not, well, I made the decision today and I don't have to worry about the rest of my life. I got my mind under control. I don't know about you, but controlling my mind is a full-time battle. And some of you guys are going, you don't even have a mind, Gary. I know what some of you guys are thinking. All right? You know, you're mindless, Gary. You know? And we need to think about, it's something that we just can't say, well, I solved that problem. I don't have to worry about it anymore. And so how do we deal with this? How do we deal with this? So I'm going to talk about it. You need to feed your mind. You need to free your mind. You need to focus your mind. Three things. We're going to look at three things you need to do. Not just, I've done it, but I'm going to tell you moment by moment, day by day, week by week, you need to think about these things in your life if you're going to control your mind. Because if you're not going to change, your life's not going to be any different, life's not going to be any better until you get control of your mind, okay? And so let's look at this. I put it this way. You must feed your mind with truth. Feed your mind with truth. The only one who can control your mind is you. You hear me? You're the only one that can control your mind. Satan cannot control your mind. All right? God can't control your mind. You're the only one. And what you got to start with, you got to start putting truth in your mind. You got to start planting truth in your head. Why do you think I keep putting such an emphasis on memorizing the Bible? What are you doing when you memorize the Bible? You are planting God's word where? In your mind. You're putting it there in your mind. You're putting that truth there. See, we let a lot of things fill our mind. We let a lot of things fill our mind. The TV, movies, music. We put a lot of things in our mind. People walk around with earbuds in their ear, and what are they listening to? More than likely, they're not listening to the Bible. Am I right? You know? They're filling their mind. Now, there's good music out there. There's Christian music, and there's even some of the secular music I enjoy, Tower Power, Beach Boys, Tells you my generation, doesn't it? But there's, but we need to watch what we fill our mind with. Are we filling our mind with truth? What's the first thing you do when you get up in the morning? I mentioned it last week. I'm going to mention it again today. Radio goes off, and here's the news. You turn the TV on, Channel 31 News, Sunday and Monday morning. That's what's on my TV. Do you start with that? Or maybe you start with day 16. Whoa. See, are you putting truth into your mind? Are you fitting? If I want to get healthy, part of our commitment, we had some physical goals. One of my goals, we had our spiritual goal. Mine is to journal spiritually. I have a physical goal. My physical goal is I want to lose 17 pounds. I just picked 17 out of the clear blue sky, okay? I want to lose 17 pounds. Now, to do that, I need to eat well, fruits and vegetables, more spice drops And what's bad is, guess what's, right after this study, I might lose that 17 pounds, but then there's Easter, right? And what do you get at Easter? Jelly belly. I'm a fiend for jelly beans. So I'm going to lose the 17 pounds, but I'll probably put, never mind, you know? Because there's this bad, you know, if I want to be healthy, I need to feed my body the right stuff. If I feed my body junk, what's going to happen? Well, I'm going to tell you, it's the same thing for our mind. If you feed your mind junk, guess what's going to be in your mind? Guess what's going to be on your head? Guess what you're going to think about? Guess what you're going to dwell on? Guess what's going to flash across? See, we need to understand, we need to put truth in our mind. Look at what it says here in John. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, some of you are going to be in your home groups this week, and you're going to have some good study on this, okay? Just kind of give you a heads up. There's going to be some really good stuff on this in your small group this week as you wrestle with how do you feed your mind, how do you put stuff into your mind. And we need to fill our mind with that good, solid, firm truth. And I'm going to tell you the truth, just so you know, is in the Bible. All right? I'll just give you a little hint. You know, I'm journaling right now, and I'm reading my devotional, but I got for my journaling, I am reading Proverbs. And just so you know, I'm not reading a chapter a day. Right now, I am reading whatever, it's a paragraph. It might be two verses, it might be seven verses. That's all I'm reading. And I'm writing little reflections. Okay, what's God saying through this? And that's what I'm journaling. There's truth. I like Proverbs is nothing but truth, okay? You know? And that's just one book. And so we need to dwell on that. Look, it says, people need more than bread for life. They must feed on every word of God. See, God's word is truth. There's nothing wrong. I do read Fox News. Anybody? Don't raise your hand. You know? I do read Google News, too. I'm trying to read to get the, you know. But which one tells the truth? I'll give you a hint. Neither, okay? I'll make it easy for you. Neither one tell the truth. You know, they say papers are unbiased. You know, they're not. Yeah. You can believe anything on the internet, right? It's, you know, we need to understand truth comes from God. That's truth. You know? Your friends are good friends, some of them. But they're not always true. You know, newspapers. Probably, I don't know how many read the newspaper anymore. Everything's on the internet. But we need to see the truth. But how often should I read? How often should I be in the truth? When? The morning? At night before I go to bed? Just so you know, my journaling, I get up in the morning, I read Proverbs. I make a few little notes on insights. It says insights, theological insights in my journal. And I make a few notes after I read that verse. And then I go through my day. At the end of the day, my journal says feelings, because right on my feelings, I'm not a very feeling person all the time. Some of you guys know that. You know, and then it's reflections for the day. So should I read the Bible in the morning? Should I read the Bible at night? I think David had a good idea here. It's all the time. Just kind of give you a little hint. When you feed your mind the truth, all the time. All the time. David says this. I rise early before the sun is up. I cry out for help and put my hope in your words. When does he do it? Early in the morning. He gets up and he gets into God's word early in the morning. He reads God's word early in the morning. Look again as it goes down into Psalms 119. Oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. When I was in college, I had to take Greek and had these Greek words. Now, you know how I memorized Greek words? I read them once, and I had photographic memory. And I memorized Greek words. Agape, koinonia. And I memorized all these. No, it didn't work that way, okay? I would get up, and I'd write my Greek words on a 3x5 card from class. And I'd write them on my 3, and I'd put them in my pocket. And I'd pull it out between class, and I'd read over my words. and put it back in my pocket. Next break, I'd pull it out and read over my Greek words and put it in my pocket. I'd walk out at 2 o'clock and go out to catch the bus to go to work. See, some of us, when we went to school, you know, some of you kids who have 2 cars in your home, I didn't have 2 cars in my home, and I still, well, I do now. Yeah. I'd sit at that bus stop, pull out the card, and read those Greek words, put them back in my pocket. I'd get on the bus, I'd pull out the card, read those Greek words. You get the impression? We need to do that with God's word. We need to keep pulling God's word out as you walk through life. That's why you memorize verses. I'll be going through, I've memorized so many verses. I've had classes where I've had to memorize 104 verses. Master Life. Anybody do Master Life? Remember Master Life was a study we did years ago. Memorized 104 Bible verses. Now, if you ask me right now to quote 104 Bible verses, you ain't going to get it, okay? It ain't going to happen. But I'll tell you what. When I need one of those 104 verses, guess what? For some reason, I can't explain it. Well, I can't explain it. Boom, it comes up to the top. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, you memorized a long time ago that when you need, you can't quote it right now, but during the day, if you needed it, boom, it's God, right? But you had to put it there first. That's how you keep God's word on your mind all the time. All day long. How about the last one? I praise you, Lord, from being my guide. Even the darkest, your teachings fill my mind. When's he doing it? Darkest night. So a good time to study God's word, a good time to meditate on God's word, a good time to fill your mind with truth is all the time. There's no better time. I'll be honest, there's no better time than right now. We need to feed on the truth. You want to start making your mind right? You want to start moving in the right direction? You want changes in your life? Are you meditating on the truth? Are you letting the truth saturate your life and your mind? The second one I put down here is this. I must free my mind from destructive thoughts. Your mind needs to be liberated from the past. Some of us have been scripted to believe certain things about ourselves. You're just ugly. You got a big nose, buck teeth. You're just an ugly dude. Yeah. And you've been scripted that. You know? You've been scripted with, oh, you're just clumsy. You can't play football. You can't play baseball. You just can't do anything. Anybody been scripted with some stuff like that in your lives? And we get scripted, and we need to be liberated from that. We need to be set free from that. That's a poison in our lives, and we have poisonous thoughts that we need to get rid of and we need to deal with, and we need to change in our mind. And we need to see this in our lives. And so we need to set ourselves free from those thoughts. And that's not easy, you know? That's why some of us go to counselors, because we need some help to get through it. You know, we can't work through this sometimes. But you got to free your mind. And here's the battle. And I put it this way: if you look at your outline, the first enemy is your old nature. You know, your first enemy for doing what's right and for doing what's good and for doing the best in your life, it's that old nature. There's that old piece of you that still wants to be rebellious. Anybody? I tell you guys all the time, I was not a bad kid, but I was sure an aggravator and a frustrator. I mean, you know, I knew where the line was, and I'd go right up to that line, and matter of fact, I might even put my toe over the line. Yeah. I wouldn't break anything, I wouldn't destroy anything, but man, I would cause you problems. You know what? That nature's still there. Some of you guys go, well, we know, we see it. Because I like to aggravate you. We have this old nature in us that's at battle. You know we shouldn't do it. You ever fight something? You ever have this battle in your life and it's like, where did that come from? I did that years ago and now it's back. Anybody ever have thoughts like that? You know, you thought you put it away. You thought you did. That's that old nature. It's there. And you have this battle. Look at what it says here. Again, this is Paul as he wrestles with this. But I see another law working in my body, which makes war against the law that my mind accepts. The other law working in my body is the law of sin, and it makes me its prisoner. See, there's this battle. And that old nature in us, those old habits. Are old habits easy to break? Those old ways of thinking, is that easy to get rid of? See, there's this old nature that we have to deal with. And it's all about our mind. Look at what it says here, Romans chapter 8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. See, Satan wants to control your mind. Satan wants to control your thoughts. As a matter of fact, just to kind of give you an idea, Satan wants to drop a bomb on you. You ever have that? You're sitting there, and all of a sudden, this thought just flashes across your mind. And it's like, where did that come from? Because that's my next point. The second enemy is Satan. You got your old nature. See, we always think the problem's out there. There's an old nature in us. But there is somebody out there. It's called Satan. Just so you know, I'm having fun right now. I pretty much firmed up. I'm going to have a series of messages called Interview with the Devil. Doesn't that sound like fun? We're gonna look at his resume and kind of look at how he acts and what he does to attack us. Because Satan wants to take us out. And he'll drop these bombs on you. Anybody ever been sitting there praying and you're talking to God and things are just going along smooth and all of a sudden this thing flashes across your mind and it's like, whoa, where'd that come from? It's called Satan. I'm going to tell you, Satan's real and he wants to take you out and he wants to give you suggestions and he wants to kind of give you thoughts and he wants to kind of direct your images and then he brings that old nature in and says, come on, you know, you're never going to change. And Satan does that to us, and he fights us. My dear children, you belong to God and have defeated them, because God's Spirit is in you, is greater than the devil who is in this world. He will. Turn the TV on. Go see a movie. It's like a... See, Satan uses stuff. Satan comes at us. And see, that will take us out. We got to get free from Satan. How about this next one here? The third enemy is the world's value system. The world's value system. Well, everybody's doing it. Anybody ever say that? Yeah, how many remember being a teenager and you did something and your parents say, what did you do? And your answer was, everybody's doing it. Anybody as a teenager ever say that? You know, all my friends, I there's this world view out there. I mean, today, to me, it's amazing. It sits a contrast between the biblical worldview and the world view. It has become really a hard line now. And we know that line out there. And we need to see there's this value system in our world. Oh, it's okay. Oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, don't worry about it. And we have this value system in our world that leads us away. Look at what it says. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life come not from the Father, but from the world. See, our world has this value system. Hedonism. It's all about pleasure. Life is about pleasure. Just have fun. You know, get drunk, get wasted, get high. You know, it's legal now. Marijuana. All right. You know, and we're just going to party and sex everywhere, you know. And then materialism in the world, you know, it's about money. Got to have money. The more money, the better. You know, the better job, power, money. Isn't that the world? Is that the world? And we get pressure, you know. And we fight these battles and we fight these mental things going on in our head. And we need to understand, it's a war. There's a war going on. You know, there's a civil war going on inside of every one of us. The good, the bad. You know, as I wrote the message, I was looking, you know, we have that image of, you know, the angel, you know, Pluto with his halo over here, and Pluto with the miniature Pluto over here with the red suit devil guy. Well, you got to have three over on this side now. All right? You got Satan over here. You got your old nature over here. And you got the world over here. All right? And so you got all these three. And it's a war. And what's so amazing is I know who wins. Jesus, man, he took down. Down for the count. But we got these battles going on. And we need to realize that. Look at what it says here. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Now, we got to pay attention. We don't rage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. What kind of weapons does the world use? Anger? Get even? Payback? Weapons of our world. On the contrary, they are divine power to demolish strongholds. Why don't you circle strongholds? I'm going to come back to that. We demolish arguments with every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive. Why don't you circle that? We're going to come back to both of those. Every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Do you see that warfare language? It's a fight. It's weapons. It's a war. We're going to demolish. There's a battle going on. I want to tell you, battle in you. There's a battle in me. Do I do what's good? Do I do what's bad? Do I make this choice? And it's not something out there. You know, I can't blame. It's out there. It's the battle's in my head. The battle's in me. It's those thoughts. It's those decisions. It's those questions. And I mentioned those strongholds. Let me define strongholds. Write this. I didn't give you a place, but you can write. There's room at the bottom. A stronghold is a lie from the pits of hell. All right? A stronghold is a lie from the pits of hell. It's Satan when he comes to Eve in the garden and says, "You're not going to die." Isn't that what Satan said? Flat out lie. It's a lie. See, the world's lies. Satan tells us lies. And so these strongholds. Well, it's okay just once. Anybody? It was just once. Well, it's not that bad. Like I said, I'm writing this message on interviewing the devil. I'm writing questions to ask the devil. And one of the questions I found was, "Well, what do you think about cussing?" The devil goes, "Poetry." Our world! Isn't that our world? You know, it's poetry. You ever been somebody who can't say two words without one of them being an F-bomb? It's always fun playing golf. You go play golf, and I remember going out with some Christian friends, and we're playing golf. We get teamed up with some people that aren't Christian. And they're starting to, they mess this shot up, and they're saying all sorts of stuff. And so without saying we don't like cussing, we'd say, "Hey, how was church this morning?" You know, and most of the time they would kind of change their language without us saying anything, you know. "Now, what book did you read this week?" You know, we'd have statements like that. But then there's some that didn't care. You know, I had one guy, every other word was an F-bomb, you know, and it's like, "Oh, come on." You know? But it's a lie. "It's the stones that break my bones, but words that never hurt me." It's a lie from the pits of hell. See, we need to see that, and that's what he says. And so in this battle, there's this old nature, there's Satan, and there's this world consciousness, this world view, and we got to set ourselves free. So how do you set yourself free? How do you get rid of all those lies? You make them captive. Do you see that? You take them captive. "I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to think about that." Here's what I want to tell you. You know, things are going to flash across your mind, but they don't have to stay there. Now, I'll be kind of, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I get myself in trouble all the time. We used to joke like this as a youth department, okay? I was saved at 17, so maybe I can use that as an excuse. We'd always say this, you know, make your first look count because you don't want to look twice. Come on now, don't sit there like you're innocent. You know, we would say things like that. You know, that's a lie. You know? It's like, how long am I going to dwell on this? You know, I can't control what flashes across, but I can control how long it stays. Is that true? And how long it stays is where temptation starts. Anybody on board with that one? See, temptation doesn't start out there. Temptation doesn't start with the TV. It doesn't start with the computer. You know, it doesn't start with a fight or an argument. Temptation starts here. That's where it starts. That envy, that anger, porn, whatever it is, starts here. And we need to see that. And so on the next page, if you turn your outline over, I kind of put the pattern of temptation there for you. I'm not going to take long with this, but I want you to see this. And James lays it out. Temptation comes from the lure of our own evil desires. These evil desires lead to evil actions, and the evil actions lead to death. So I give you the four things real quick. The four things of how sin and how things attack us. It starts with our desire. It starts with our desire. It starts in my head. It might flash across. It might be one of those bombs that Satan drops. You know, you're on the computer, all of a sudden there's this picture over here. Now, it doesn't have to be bad, okay? It could be it could be Microsoft Surface Pro 4. Now, if you don't know what that is, that's a nice, you know, and I picked the one I want. Now, you notice I said I want, and it's only $1,700. Now, I could get a cheap one for $600, but I want the i7 with, $250. You know, that's temptation. It's like, well, let me go check it out. It's not just porn that gets us. Am I right? No, come on. I want to make sure you see the picture I'm getting here. You know, it's the toys that I like. You know? And so the computer or the TV, you know, you're going through the channels. And I'll give you a little hint. Let me tell you how to set this up. Take your remote when you go home. Now listen, this is real serious. You go home, you pull your remote out, you push menu. All right? You go to parental control. Hear me. You go to parental control, and you push parental control. All right? I have grandkids come to my house. Anybody? There's things on the TV I don't want them to see. As a matter of fact, there's things on TV I don't want to see. Well, I do want to see, but I don't want to see any. I'm like Paul. You know, So I'm going to tell you, go home. I called my cable company or the company I use for my TV, and I said, I don't want HBO, Showtime, I don't want any of those channels. Well, in order to get this channel over here that's called Hallmark for my wife, I got to take those other things. Even though I don't want them because I know there's things I want to see, but I don't want to see. I'm a guy. I want to see that stuff. But I don't want to see that stuff. Am I being too honest? You know, and so I block it on my TV. So go home and take parental control. Then you don't have to worry about it. Set your mind now to go home and get rid of those desires. You know, and I'm going to tell you, some of you may need to block those shopping channels. All right? I'm meddling now, aren't I? You know? It's like, hey, I like that. It's only $9.99 plus shipping, and they'll give me two for the price of one. Got to pay shipping again, though. Don't you love those commercials? Desire. They pry on our desire. They prey on our desire. They try to take it. It starts in our head. And then we begin to doubt. We begin to doubt. Two down here. We doubt this. And it's like, does God really love me? And I know better what I need than God does. Anybody? We begin to doubt, you know. It's like, God, you know, and it's okay. Everybody's doing it. Do you really love me? You know, if you love me, you'll give me that Microsoft Surface Pro 4. You know, and not the $699 one. You know, God, if you really love me. Anybody? And then it's like, you know, God, you really don't want what's best for me because I'm hurting right now and you're not answering my prayers and you're not moving like I want and you're not doing what I think. And I feel I know better than you, God, and get this doubt going. And then there's deception. We begin to believe Satan. We begin to believe those lies. We begin to believe those stories. And then there's disobedience and defeat. I'm going to tell you, I guarantee you this. Listen, I'll give you a guarantee. The end of sin is death. And it's not physical. You ever seen somebody, you know, a dead man walking? I'm not talking about the movie. I'm talking about somebody who's lost their soul. They lost their heart. They lost their life. I've seen people, marriages destroyed, and they're just death. Families. We need to see that the end of temptation. But it all begins where? My message is, I hope I'm drilling this in. You control your thoughts. No one else can. I can't sit here and just change the remote on you. You're sitting here this morning, and I guarantee you, some of you had some really weird thoughts, and you're going, where did that come from this morning? Am I right? You're sitting here, and the crazy preacher up there, and this thing flashes across your mind. You're going, where in the world did that come from? It's old nature, Satan, or the world. And it's battling that new nature in you. All right? Let me get this last point real quick. I must focus my mind on the right things. Now you need to, listen, feed your mind the truth, free your mind from destructive thoughts, and now focus on the right things. Let me give you the number one thing you need to focus on. Hands down, nothing else. It's called Jesus. Think about Jesus. Anybody ever wear that bracelet on there? WJD. Anybody remember those bracelets we used to have? Think about Jesus. What would Jesus say? What would Jesus do? How would Jesus act? We don't always know. But we come back to the two principles. Jesus said the most important, love God, love others. And that kind of takes me to my next point. Let's look at this. Let me get a verse here, though. So keep your mind on Jesus, who put up with many insults from sinners. You won't get discouraged and give up. Keep your thoughts on Jesus. Your mind starts to go somewhere, and it's getting weird and wacky on you. Just go, Jesus. What do you think? Jesus. How about this next one? Think about others. Think about others. Life is not all about you. You might be going through some stuff, and it might hurt and pain, and you're going and you're one out. Where's God in the midst of all my suffering? Where's God when all this is going on? And you might have those doubts, but maybe it's not about you. Think about others. This is a big one for me. I've been here 33 years as pastor, having a great time. I love this church. I hope you guys know I love this church. I love you guys. I love Salida. I love this place. And I always, my thing is, I think about my grandkids when temptation comes. I think about my kids. I think about your kids. You know, some of these kids have been here since they were 6 years old and younger. And, you know, if Satan takes me out, you know, if Satan takes the preacher out, man, he makes a big dent, doesn't he? So, you know, I think about that. I got to stay pure. I got to stay on track. Now, I'm going to do stupid things. Now, some of you guys that ride with me, keep your mouth shut when you ride with me. That's one of the things. What happens in Gary's van when he drives, stays in Gary's van when he drives. Remember that one, all right? That's one of the rules, you know? But I need to realize. You need to realize. Now, I've said this in the past. I'm going to tell you, I don't care how old you are in here. Somebody's looking up to you. Now, listen to me. I don't care how old you are. Because little babies look up to children, right? Preschoolers look up to third graders, fifth. Am I right? Third and fifth graders look up to sixth graders, look up to preteens. Am I right? You know, 13, you know, 12. And they look up to college students. And then college students don't look at anybody. They got all the answers. At least I did when I was a college student, okay? But am I right? You know what I'm saying? We need to understand others are watching us. And when I look at sin in my life, I have to think about, I got grandkids. I got kids. I got a wife. I got to think about those things. You know, so I got to think about, how about this? Let me read that scriptures. Do not be interested only in your own life, but be interested in the lives of others. And again, let us think about each other and help each other to show love and good deeds. We're here for one another. We got to think about others. And the last one I put here is think about eternity. I got some bad news for you. Okay? I'm sorry. It's going to be a morning I give you bad. One day you're going to die. All right? Hopefully, like me, you're going to live to be 120. All right? But still, that's only 120 years. There's an eternity out there. There's a heaven. A big, beautiful Garden of Eden that hasn't been destroyed or touched by the hand of Satan. Anybody? See, don't just wrap your life around what happens in the 60, 70, 80, 120 years that you get to experience Earth. I tell people when I do funerals how sad it would be if you thought this is all there was to life was these 70 years or 80 years. How sad. To know that there's a place called heaven. A beautiful place. The other day we were in Black Hawk. Beautiful area. Over in the Bay Area. Gated community. Now, I learned something when I went over there this time. You know what? They have the rich, and they have the rich. Did you know that? I didn't know they have low-income rich. They got rich, and then they got the rich. We go to a house, we got to go through gated community. You got to go through a gated community, and you're in with the rich people. And then we got to go up to another house, but we got to go through another gate to go into the rich people. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's nothing wrong with money. I want all I can get, okay? There's nothing wrong. Money, the love of money is not evil. All right? It's when the love of money controls you, your mind, it is evil. Does that make sense? All right? I have no problem with those guys having that. I told people I was riding with, man, I could love, you know, I could suffer for Jesus here. You know? But it's beautiful. The homes, the sloping green hills. It's beautiful. But there's heaven. I'm more worried about my heavenly home than my home here on earth. Anybody? See, your mind. Set your mind on the things above. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. See, I want to challenge you this morning. What's on your mind? What's good about this message today is it's not Super Bowl Sunday, because if it's Super Bowl Sunday, on your mind. All right? This morning, I don't know what's on your mind. So I ask you, what's on your mind? You know, Super Bowl's not going right now. NASCAR hasn't started. I guess basketball is getting close to All-Star. Is it the All-Star? What do they call the break right now? You know, they're getting ready to start playing some game. You know, the All-Star break. I don't know. What's your mind on? Lunch? Beat the crowd? Gary Nichols early? You know, I don't know what your mind is on. But I want to challenge you. Whatever you put your mind on is how you're going to make your life. Satan's going to drop some bombs in there. I guarantee you he will. But you control your mind. Will you set your mind on Jesus? Will you set your mind on others? And will you set your mind on the heavenly home that God has prepared for you? Where's your mind today? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your thoughts, teachings, for they truly are truth. But Lord, I join Paul as he wrestles with, I know what I should do, and yet I don't do what I want to do. I do what I do not want to do. Lord, refuse and all that, but I know the battle that goes on, because I fight the same battle. I want to be a person for Jesus. You know, as I'm praying, maybe you fight that battle. Maybe there's a battle in your mind right now. Maybe you need to set your mind on Jesus. Maybe you need to set your mind on others. Or maybe you just need to turn your attention and rest in that heavenly home. You might pray for you that you will set your mind on the things above. Would you just shoot your hand up? Just shoot your, thank you, I see it. Anyone else? Thank you, I see him. Thank you, thank you. Lord, I just thank you that we want to turn our attention, we want to turn our heart, and we want to set our mind on the things above. God, help us put into practice what we've heard today. I'm not just praying for these, I'm praying for myself. Help me to make those choices daily. Help me to feed my mind on the truth. Set me free from those destructive thoughts by taking them captive. Lord, help me be wise in the midst of temptation and realize that it's the desires that turn to doubt that lead to deception, disobedience, and death. God, help me obey your word forever. Help me think about Jesus and think about others and think about eternity, that my life will truly be transformed and I can say, who loves you and enjoys this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.